Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is True Crime Tuesday, and today we bring you the story of Ann Cooper Hewitt. Ann Cooper Hewitt was born in 1914 to a woman who, let's just say, made her way through several men. She was married to four different men before she finally married Peter Cooper Hewitt. Peter Cooper Hewitt adopted young Ann Cooper Hewitt, treated her as his own daughter. This was a guy who was loaded. Grandfather founded the Cooper Union. His father and uncle were both mayors of New York. Peter Cooper Hewitt died in 1921 when Ann was just seven. His estate was worth more than $4 million, the equivalent of about $59 million today. Now, according to his will, Ann would receive two-thirds of that fortune, and her mom would receive one-third.
There was a caveat. If Anne should die childless, her share would revert back to her mother.
Now, as you can imagine, this is a well-to-do family in New York City. He's got ties to the Vanderbilts. And people knew of this family and the death of Peter Cooper Hewitt. And it shocked the world in 1936 when Ann Cooper Hewitt filed a civil lawsuit against her mother. Why? She claimed that her mother had her sterilized in order to get all of the money in the will and leave her very daughter penniless and childless.
There was a whole history that went into this 1936 decision, or the lawsuit, I guess, that went into the decision about whether or not they were going to remove her fallopian tubes without her knowledge or her consent. The DA in San Francisco actually charged Marion and both doctors with mayhem. That is reserved for cases involving the act of disabling or disfiguring an individual, punishable by up to 14 years in prison. Again, because they sterilized her by removing her fallopian tubes.
Here's how it went down. It was 2 years before the suits were filed. It was 1934, and just 20 years old. And by the way, there's no love lost between mother and daughter. I mean, at the trial, Anne had testified that her mother never went near her, that the maid would dress her in the morning and leave her there for the day, and that she would often go to sleep in her clothes. This mother was not a mother at all. But it was 1934. Anne's 20 years old now. She's still a minor at the time. She's having lunch with her mom near San Francisco. I believe it was Santa Rosa. She feels a rush of pain in her stomach. And so she's taken to a hospital where a doctor there, Dr. Tilton Tillman, told her she had appendicitis, despite the fact that he never examined her. And then 4 days later, it's when it's scheduled, which is odd because that's an acute condition. Like, yeah, if you've got the appendicitis, you got to get that thing out.
You get it. You get in there, you get that thing out right away.
Right.
Well, it was the appendectomy 4 days later. During the weeks that she spent recovering in the hospital, she was overhearing the nurses and the orderlies say things. For example, a few staff members would ask her nurse, "How is the idiot patient doing?" And they don't mean it like the way we would mean it today in just common vernacular, that guy's an idiot. They meant it in the clinical sense, idiot patient.
Anne also heard her nurse make several phone calls to Dr. Tillman himself, assuring him that his patient didn't suspect a thing.
According to Anne, her later testimony, she said, "I learned then that my mother and Dr. Tillman had told everyone that I was a mental case. I discovered that I had undergone a salpingectomy." I've never heard of that before. "Having my tubes removed along with my appendix." Later in her testimony, her lawyer actually asked her if she was hoping to get married one day, and she said that she did, and said, "But I don't know if anyone will have me now because obviously she was unable to have kids.
If you're wondering why this was able to happen, sure, you've got an evil mother and a gullible daughter who doesn't realize her own mother's poisoning her at lunch in order to sterilize her. But what about the nurses and the doctor that went along with this? What the hell is that all about?
Well, very common.
Apparently it was. Yeah. This was a time in the country when forced sterilizations were becoming widely accepted, including among the medical establishment. We'll talk about it when we come back. Telling you the story for this True Crime Tuesday of Ann Cooper Hewitt. She was the apple of her stepfather's eye. And when he died, she was just 7 years old. And he left behind a boatload of money, equivalent to $59 million today. And his will said that Ann would receive 2/3 of this and her mother would receive 1/3. Now, her mother wasn't really a mother to Ann. She was a terrible mother. And she was so bad that when Ann was 20, Mom took her to lunch and poisoned her, got her to the hospital where a doctor falsely diagnosed her as having appendicitis. 4 days later, the operation is scheduled and they sterilized Ann because one of the stipulations of the will was that should Ann die childless, all of the money would go to Mom.
Ann filed suit, civil suit against her mother for that $500,000. This lengthy, exhausting trial resulted in charges being dropped against the doctors and the mother. But Ann was able to settle the civil suit for $150,000. I guess you could say, thankfully, this witch of a mother, Marion, died following a stroke in April of 39 at the age of 55.
One of the reasons why the doctors and the nurses went along with the monster of a mother's plan was because the mother made a case to them. She said that Ann, at the time, 20 years old, was irreparably damaged, a feeble-minded idiot with no chance of living a normal life. And that when she was 3, she was caught with her hand down her pants. Now, this was a time when forced sterilizations were widely accepted. And the gender attitudes at the time were described as Victorian.
This goes far beyond Victorian in my mind.
At the time, the trend of women riding bicycles or stopping to chat with friends was seen as problematic.
Amen.
Many worried that intense conversation. Careful. I know you're being funny, but people legit think you hate women. Many worried at this time that intense conversations endangered a woman's health.
That's why guys are constantly saying, relax. It's because we're concerned about your health.
They had long been told that females required rest and seclusion to avoid overtaxing the nervous system. I believe that. I like rest and seclusion. I'll agree with that part.
That's called humanity. That's not specific to your gender. But Anne's doctors were concerned that a little girl at the age of 3 caught masturbating was going to be a danger to men and a danger to society.
Yes, her mother had her taken to a doctor where the doctor said Anne is manlike in her urges. And if she keeps at her nasty habit, she won't perceive any need to marry one day.
Listen, this is unfortunately not an uncommon point of view for that time. There was a concern about promiscuity back then. And politicians would go through and they developed what were called vice commissions. John D. Rockefeller funded a bunch of these. And the purpose of them was to regulate the sexual activity of the shop girls, the factory workers, the low class women, which would include things like spying on these women to figure out whether or not they were sexually active.
Undercover investigators trailed women from their tenements to their jobs, taking notes on everything from their boots to what they did at work. There's no question that this woman is on terms of sexual intimacy with her male companions, one concluded, after having seen a manicurist massage the hands of businessmen all day.
They also described this period of time in the United States as a war on women, and it was so intense at that point that the government imprisoned 15,000 women who had syphilis between the years 1914, 1918.
Well, they were trying to protect the U.S. troops. They didn't want these dirty women infecting our line of defense. Apparently, there were already high rates of STDs within the ranks. Many of the detained women had committed no crime, like prostitution. They had just been too close to a military base or wore a hemline too high.
Now, listen, this all led to this policy of eugenics, which has an ugly history in this country, specifically in the state of California. There's an ugly history of eugenics where forced sterilization of people who were disabled, people who were poor, people who were, the term was wayward, in an attempt to reduce the number of unsound people within our population.
Yeah, there were positive eugenics and negative eugenics. And positive would be trying to get all the rich, well-to-do women to have as many kids as possible while sterilizing the women that you pointed out that came from different communities.
So that is why Marion tried to, well, I guess successfully sterilized Anne from having any kids. It was also the doctors that went along with it because she was considered to be, quote, an idiot at the time. And one of those less than preferable people who may potentially procreate at some point.
Like her mother, Anne wound up marrying five times and then died of cancer at the age of 40. And incredibly, many states that had laws on the books allowing involuntary sterilization did not begin to get rid of them until the 70s.
Wow. The rest of the family, by the way, the Hewitt siblings, helped to erase eugenics from the public memory while upholding the movement's ideals. The family members may not have bankrolled or even publicly supported sterilization campaigns, but as many of their peers did, but they shared disdain for women who were thought to be disruptive.
God, men are terrible, aren't they?
The main character in that story was the mom.
Yeah, but the doctor was male.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.